Today we're going to talk about how we begin to weave God's love and salvation together to experience new life. And let's take a minute to think about what new life is and how you see new life and how you identify it in your lives. So just think about that for a minute. And it might be the birth of a child, maybe a baby bird breaking from its shell. And this year, my family actually got to experience that at our house. Five baby birds took over our front door, and we weren't able to use it for quite a while. And they just recently have left from the nest. So we got to experience that. Maybe it's the breaking of dawn and the rising of the sun. Maybe it's the new leaves and flowers of springtime, a fresh start to our new year. Maybe a new job. And last week at 11 a.m. Mass, there was a baptism, and we experienced new life through baby Scarlet. And some people are given new life medically, like I am. And, you know, the truth is that we experience new life daily, whether we realize it or not. But the new life that we're going to talk about today is an even greater opportunity than any of these, even all put together. And spiritual renewal and faith is the foundation that allows all of those to be. And without our creation in God, the commitment and love of Jesus Christ, and the power of life in the Spirit, we can never experience life eternally to its fullest extent. And in our Nicene Creed, as we just went over it, we voice loudly that we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, and the giver of life. And this Holy Spirit takes an active role in all God's time as a divine and active power through which God himself is active in man, the universe, all of history, and in nature. So we're going to take a look at a passage in the Bible. So if you have your Bibles. And it's Psalm 104, verses 30. And if somebody could read that, does anybody want to read? Psalm 104.
What verse?
30.
Can I read it? When you send forth your breath, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth.
Okay, so did everybody hear that? Read it. When you send forth your breath, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Now, so this is kind of like a feeling that new life is not always about us, but instead it's the power of God through us, yet it's our decision. Now, when Jesus enters the picture in our salvation history to be our example, the ultimate gift of the Father through him, with him, and in him, yet a man like us, always but sin. And we're also going to look at Luke 4, verses 14 through 21. And this is when the life of Jesus, what prompts his life of ministry. And it's Luke 4.
What verses?
14 through 21. Somebody else want to read that? Read it loud.
Or maybe go up to the microphone.
Can you come up here?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay.
16-21.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, and recover the sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently on him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing."
So Jesus' life of ministry was devoted to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, a Jesus who is our example. As he ascended to join his Father, that same Spirit showered on those baptized believers who shared testimony on that first Pentecost. Now we're going to read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 18.
Use the mic.
There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To one is given through the Spirit the expression of wisdom, to another the expression of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another mighty deeds, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another variety of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them individually to each person as he wishes. As the body is one through, it has many parts, and all the parts of the body through many are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many. If a foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it does not for this reason belong any less to the body. Or if an ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it does not for this reason belong any less to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he intended.
Some of these different spiritual gifts that we're given to experience new life are our sacraments that we receive in the church. Like at our baptism, we or someone on our behalf requested entrance into a community of supportive believers. We're cleansed with water, receive the gift of faith and support in that faith through the family of believers. Our senses sealed with oil, and sent forth through the promise of Jesus the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is new life. And at our first communion and every Eucharist, we are given new life, or we receive the new life in the Eucharist, and we are being intimately joined with Jesus Christ. With reconciliation, our lives are transformed every time we ask forgiveness through the priest who is God personified, which I hope that each and every one of you will partake in this evening sometime. And for those of you who have received anointing of the sick, it is also another very healing, another powerful healing power that God has. And now that you are all ready for another sacrament, when you were baptized, you received a free and completely unmerited gift of grace. And it is now time to bring that gift to completion. With confirmation, you are completing the sacrament of baptism. And so again, new life will begin in each and every one of you. Throughout your preparation, I pray that you all have surrendered to the plan of God. In a very internal and profound sense, we are all purified or prepared to accept the Spirit of Jesus Christ in our hearts and minds and challenged to connect that with our souls. God Himself in each of us, only to connect that soul back to our human heart and mind, to become Jesus to the world, building the Father's kingdom. Now is this new life. Now at your confirmation, the bishop will say, "Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit." And you all will respond, "Amen." And your amen needs to be with conviction, because He's sealing you with the power of the Holy Spirit. He's giving you the peace to be with you, and you all respond, "And also with you." To be sealed with the Holy Spirit and to have peace, peace in today's world and always. This is an opportunity for new life for each of you. And now this Eucharistic celebration that we are invited to take part in every day, or at least each Sunday and all holy days, through the power of the priest, the Spirit is called down on that bread and wine and before us to become the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as unworthy as we may be, partake of Jesus' flesh and blood, and through the power of the Spirit, are one within Him. If we don't walk away with new life every time we receive, we've obviously missed something. Now, it's not always easy because we misplace the power of the Spirit. But we put free will before our God, soul, and let ourselves be our God. That's the feel-good thing that sometimes we can feel like we have received new life. Now, like for me, I've received new life medically. Some people receive a pacemaker. Some people may have an organ transplant. But whenever I found out that I had diabetes, I needed new life, where I knew that I was going to die. And I surrendered to God and His plan for this disease. And He provided me with the ability to have insulin and a pump. This pump in a way is new life to me, and as well as the insulin that flows through it. The same goes for each of you. At some point in everyone's life, we've been sick, and we've needed to take medicine to make us feel better. and it felt like new life to you and you were feeling better. Now, it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that God truly gives us the power to know, love, and serve Him, and to experience Jesus as Lord, lover, and center of our life. Our prayer begins to center on God and not ourselves. Liturgy and the sacraments come to life. The fruits of the Spirit develop and succumb our lives. Praise and thanksgiving become possible and frequent, and we begin to discover our gifts and charisms along with ways to utilize them in building His kingdom, not ours. We live in love, joy, and peace. Now, I'm going to read something out of the catechism. Does somebody want to come up here and read it?
Being in the image of God, the human individual possesses the dignity of a person who is not just something, but someone. He is capable of self-knowledge, of self-possession, and of freely giving himself and entering into community or communion with other persons. He is called by grace to a covenant with his Creator to offer him a response of faith and love that no other creature can give in his stead.
Now, does new life sound like something for each of you? Something that you want to experience? Because it does for me. And allowing an openness to be baptized in the Spirit might just change your life. It is required for baptism in the Spirit that we must surrender our life to Jesus Christ in faith, hope, and love. This is just simply saying yes to your best friend and somebody that you love. Understand that you are all being called to the grace by God's action and initiative. I pray for all of you that the Holy Spirit will lavish your sevenfold gifts upon each and every one of you through your preparation and through your confirmation and throughout your lives.